Welcome back to The Mouth, episode 6. Got a special guest here, former poker player. Drake joining me today at Roots across the street. Going to touch on a few different topics today. Going to talk about some of the best poker stories that Drake has, you know, some of his experience, and then where's poker today, right? Used to be the most exciting thing. Everyone was playing house games on the weekends, and now, you know, you don't see it as much in the States. Also going to, you know, do a recap of the NCAA tournament, and then talk about the Masters coming up this weekend, and then have a little debate if this is the best week in sports ever, right, for the whole year. So we're going to touch on those things, but, you know, first and foremost, Drake, welcome to The Mouth. Appreciate your time, my man.
Thanks for having me, man. Great day to be doing a podcast. Yeah, excited.
Certainly. So, you know, first and foremost, wanted to start out, you know, as a former poker player, what's your best poker player or poker story you have out there? And you know, I guess who would the public know you played with some superstars you were telling me earlier? You want to elaborate on one of those stories?
Yeah. Oh, there's so many. There's so many stories. But the one that comes to mind right now would probably be I played in a game out in Vegas with a couple of famous actors, Ben Affleck, a couple other actors who weren't A-list, but Affleck was definitely A-list, and some really rich people, and their names I don't really want to say them, but so that was one of the cooler games I played in. Dan Bilzerian, played with him multiple times.
So how do you get in a game like that, right? So how does the average person, are you just sitting at a table in the poker room in Vegas? I mean, are you playing, winning yourself a couple of games, and people start to recognize you and invite you? How's that happen?
It's a good question. So I found the best way of doing it was through gambling and going in the high stakes areas in blackjack, baccarat. Specifically baccarat, and you would see all the other really good poker players there who had either done super shitty that day or just won a tournament and wanted to double down. So that's what we'd all do after, you know, you go to the cage, get your check, bring it straight to Bac and cash in chips. Start trying to go for the mill or, you know, whatever it was you wanted to do that night.
So is that the baccarat, isn't that the game Phil Ivey was gotten a little bit of trouble because he was too good at the game?
Yeah, Phil Ivey, well, he was able to figure out a way to read the cards and made about $8 or $9 million. So those cases, I think he ended up having to pay back one of them in London, but I'm not sure on the other one.
Yeah. So I guess, like, you were telling me earlier about how you got into poker, how it all started. I mean, you started, it sounds like, as a 17-year-old kid. How did it all go down? Like, what made you go to the next step and start doing it as a professional?
I guess just the money was so good. And at the time when I was playing as a 17-year-old, online poker was available. And it was just so easy. The players back then were so bad. Oh, my God. They were such fish. And it was just, you know, it was common sense to just keep playing and, you know, to go up stakes when you were winning, and that's just what I did.
Okay, well, I wouldn't do the people right if I didn't ask about Mr. Instagram, Dan Bilzerian. You don't have to elaborate in too much detail, but was he as outgoing and, you know, that Navy SEAL mentality when he played poker, or was he more chill, just a funny guy? I mean, you guys are playing for high stakes, but this guy throws around money on Instagram like it's nothing.
Sure. Dan's, I wouldn't say a friend of mine, but he's a friend of my really good friends. So I hear a lot of stories about him. I've been around him a lot. Not too personal, but he's actually a really down-to-earth guy. And all the stories that you hear are pretty outrageous, but I mean, he's actually a super chill guy and is very shy, which is really something a lot of people don't know about him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So have you ever played in any of the big World Series of Poker type tournaments?
I have, yeah. So I got, I played all the 10Ks, like the Heads Up. I played against, and here's the thing that I don't know, when I was playing, I was just getting into, you know, the professional poker title, and I didn't know I was going to do it for a living. So I was just having a good time doing it, and I was good at it. So I didn't know all the poker lingo. I was just hopping in these games and, you know, bluffing the shit out of some people. So when I was playing these large events, people had no idea how my style of play, and it was to my benefit in a lot of cases.
Okay, so what happened to poker in the United States in the last 10 years? Because, like, I started out, like, everyone was playing poker, right? You probably played with your friends. That got a little boring for someone like you, but my buddies and I always played, and then all of a sudden, hardly anyone plays at home, and if it is, it's, you know, in a dark room in a closet somewhere, right? That's not as, you know, lucrative as it once was. So what happened?
Yeah, with no IP address, because there's... So what happened was Full Tilt happened, and they didn't... Black Friday happened. Black Friday was an event that all online poker players were unable to cash out their money. They went on that morning, and Full Tilt had been getting into some issues with the IRS and froze everyone's account. And it was, you know, an ongoing investigation for, I think, like four to eight years. I'm not too familiar with everything, but I know that just recently it finally started to collect or give some payouts.
Okay, so how do you, I mean, now that you moved away from that, right, you obviously... You moved away from playing poker on a daily basis. You know, how are you keeping up and sharpening your game? I know that probably in the next couple days you're going to be partaking in a tournament or two. How do you stay good at poker if you're not playing all the time, right?
Oh, I don't know if I'm as good as I used to be. That's a good question. I think that you just have it, and, you know, watching different events on TV and, you know, online, you either have it or you just don't have it. And some days you have it, some days you don't. So, you know, we'll see how that day goes in the next, you know, couple weeks.
So I guess, like, to take it back a little bit, because you played in these larger tournaments for a substantial amount of money, could you pick up when people were nervous as hell? Like, I would be playing for $20 a game, and everyone knew when I got excited. I obviously just give it away, probably just telling them I'm going to crush them, or getting all excited or shake with your hands a little. And, you know, was that, like, live when you're playing with a guy like, you know, Ben Affleck, right? I don't know him personally, but I would imagine that guys look at rich people as just, like, free money. Like, this guy has a lot of money, and this is my profession. He needs to stick to movie scripts, and they just take those guys to the bank. I mean, was there some tells that these famous or rich people, like you stated, playing gave that you were able to pick up easily?
Playing with rich people is actually super difficult. I'd rather play with professionals all day long, just because you know what they're going to do. You know how you think, and they think very similar. Whereas you play with, like, a Ben Affleck, and when I was playing with him, I had no idea what he was doing. I mean, these antes were 5, 10K antes. So, I mean, that alone, I mean, it gets people nervous. And when you're in those types of pots, you just got to go with the moment and go with the flow. And, you know, if you win the hand, you win the hand.
Yeah, so I guess, like, from your perspective, it's a little bit more predictable when you're playing with people that are playing at a high level all the time, where you're playing with, like, a guy like Ben or anyone else. They're unpredictable, you know, and they're throwing, which rich people I use just that term is, they probably are like, well, I'll just try to bully my way to winning this, you know, I'm kind of screwed in this hand or whatnot.
Well, Ben was very predictable.
Okay.
So Ben was very predictable, but most rich people aren't predictable.
Did you beat him in a hand or two?
Or three.
Okay, good. Yeah. I like that. Nice. Yeah. Well, Ben, keep making those movies or I'll send Drake after you. Also, I guess I would, you know, take it a just one step back. Is anything that you wish you would have done a little bit different while you were playing poker? I mean, Did you reach out to a lot of sponsorships? I mean, how did that all come? Because every time I would put on ESPN like everyone else, you would see these kids with, or adults with like 70 patches on them.
Yeah, I wish I would have reached out to Jack Links, you know, and done like a beef jerky commercial. I always regret that.
Big beef jerky fan, huh?
Yeah.
All right, I like it. Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, I always see like the, you know, the poker players with all the patches. And honestly, when they're wearing those patches, they're only receiving, I think it's one fixed, like, it's like one fixed amount for all the patches. So, you know, they just throw as many on as they can at the time they're filming.
Okay, so the kid that had 400 patches on him, he is still getting the same dollar amount that the dude had one that looked normal.
More than likely, yes. It just depends on the event and it depends on where, because sometimes you have to sign the release and then they're able to throw the book at you.
Okay. And then I guess, like, my brother wanted me to ask you one question. His favorite hand in poker is 7-2, which, okay, he's very good at math. It's the worst hand you possibly can have in poker.
Right.
I mean, how many times have you won with that hand? Or how many times have you bluffed with that hand?
7-2 is, yeah, it's a good hand to bluff with.
Okay.
Lots of times. I mean, there's games where they are relied on 7-2, and if you win the hand and show the 7-deuce bluff, then you get an extra $100 or $500, whatever the stake is.
All right, there you go, BG. I asked your question. And then I guess, do you have a favorite hand? Like, not in the sense of, like, a lot of people that I was talking earlier is like, oh, I hope I get aces, when actually it's probably not the best hand in poker in the sense of if you're rolling out the rest of the cards. The best starting hand, but, like, did you have something that you were like, I won a lot of money on this hand, or I had a big win, it saved my ass in a tournament? What hand would that be?
Queen Jack of Hearts.
Okay.
That's my favorite hand. Won a lot of money with that hand. And yeah, the first term I ever won was with that hand. It just seems like everything has come good. Everything good that has come with that hand.
Okay. Well, in the same breath, then you gotta, what is the hand that haunts you the most? Or the set of cards that you just see and you're like, these are good cards for the normal person, and you just fold them because it's just bad luck for you?
You know, I have the worst luck with pocket queens, it seems like. Every time I have pocket queens, I've gotten knocked out of, you know, a deep tournament. I've had deep runs and then just had something happen where queens didn't hold up, or they've had aces or kings. It's one of those hands where you're sitting pretty, but somebody could have kings or aces very easily.
Perfect. Anything else you want to touch on from a poker standpoint? Because I was just thinking, while I have you, switch gears and talk a little bit about the sports that are happening this week, and you know, recap a little bit about the NCAA tournament.
No, I mean, we could talk about poker for forever, so save that for another day.
All right, cool, because I would love to understand a little bit of Phil Ivey. That gentleman seemed like he got a lot of press from ESPN, and he was the, you know, the one that was supposedly taking it to the next level, but...
Yes.
We're going to switch gears and talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. So, obviously, the South region, Virginia loses the first game out, first 16 seed, you know, to win a game against the number one seed, which really paved the way for the Ramblers, you know, from Illinois, Chicago, right? If you think about it, it paved the way because the one seed was gone and it kind of opened up everything. And, the, you know, looking at the Ramblers, or Ramblers, the best top seed team that they had to play, well, they had to play two, was a three seed the whole time, right? They played Tennessee, were able to knock them off, and then they were able to play Michigan, which obviously they lost in the Final Four. But I felt like the 16th seed was, you know, maybe happened from, what's her name, Jean, or what the hell was her name? The nun that was from the, what's her name?
Sister Jean,
Sister
I think.
Jean. I think she made that happen.
Sister
so
Jean, yeah.
People didn't know. Virginia should not be big fans of her.
Yeah. It was like USMB, or what was the team that beat them? I don't even know. At UMBC, or... I was looking at it multiple times, and I couldn't figure out what the where they were from or what school it was.
I just hit the, when you're doing the test, it's either all the above or NA, because I have no idea what the hell their name of the school was. I apologize. Congratulations. You're in the Guinness World of Record. You broke all that shit. I'll never remember your school. I apologize. My school that I went to didn't even make the tournament, but congratulations. You guys beat Virginia.
I'll go with C.
C. Yeah. All right. Perfect. Anything else that really caught your eye that you were very surprised over outside of that?
I was super surprised to see Florida State make that run because they had a tough schedule to get there. I mean, they knocked off some solid teams that could have made some, could have done the same damage. So
I was looking at it, because a lot of people from the Chicagoland area and really nationwide, if their team wasn't in it, they were looking at Illinois, Chicago, right? And, you start to look at it, Illinois, Chicago beats Miami, moves on to the next round, play Tennessee, they move on. And one of the craziest things was that they got super lucky, and hopefully they're thanking him, is Kansas State. They got to play Kansas State because Kansas State beat Kentucky. Kentucky would have been a matchup problem in the sense that they're just way more athletic, and Kansas State, luckily enough, pulled it out, because I think Kentucky would have gave the Ramblers, kind of an ass whooping, to be honest.
Yeah, I was looking back on that too, and I watched that Kentucky-Kansas State game, and Kansas State was like a different team when they were playing against Kentucky and then when they played Loyola. Like, they were a different team. They played super well against Kentucky. They played defense. And then when they ran into Loyola, Loyola just crushed their souls. And, like, I mean, I don't know if, Kentucky would have put up more of a fight than Kansas State did, but I don't know. It seemed like a really bad game for K-State.
Yeah. No, you're right. And then, what I was saying, we'll touch on a little bit, the best week in sports. We had the championship, and the Final Four was exciting. I thought the Final Four was a good mix, right? You got Kansas, which is a, top five program, right? Everyone, a blue blood, what people would call. So you had Kansas in the mix, and all, everybody, you know a friend that went to Kansas if you live in Chicago, Illinois. It's just what it is. Then you had, I thought was like either the one or two seed in the whole tournament, which was Villanova. I think they were number two going into the tournament. They made it. They got a Brunson, who is from Chicago. That was kind of cool to see.
Cool story.
Then you had Big Ten school. Gotta love the Big Ten.
Yes.
So you get a little mix of that. And then you get the underdog with the Ramblers. So it was a good story to tell. I do think that Villanova was hands... it was just substantially better than the rest of the three teams. They could have combined squads, and I still think they lose. To break down the game yesterday, Brunson only plays less than 10 minutes in the second half of that game. He's going to probably be one of the, he'll win a ton of college awards this year. He's their best player, and he only plays, 8-9 minutes because of foul trouble, and they win by 17-18. They have the game in hand the whole time where Jay Wright, the best looking coach in college, right?
He
doesn't even have to play his point guard.
Yeah, that's just point that out. They didn't even play their best players last night, and they won by 19. It was blowout city from the get-go. I had Villanova winning in my brackets, and I didn't see a team that could even come close to hanging with them. They're just on the next tier. They're like playing an NBA team that's, it was like playing the Sixers 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Just...
No, you're right. And then, you look at the highlights. The starting five played well, but the best player on the court last night was their sixth man, right?
Yes.
So it just shows you the depth of that type of school. And then one thing that people got to go back and look at is that Villanova redshirted, I believe, five of the top seven kids in that rotation. Not Brunson. He started from a freshman when they won the last national championship in 2016. But the kid that scored all the points last night, I would love to pronounce his name, but I'll butcher the shit out of that. They had four or five of the top seven kids in the rotation they redshirted as freshmen. So I'm just saying, they get another year of the system. So a lot of these teams are like one and done, but the one and done schools, which you would say from a talent standpoint, and you broke it down, Duke probably had the best talent on paper. You got multiple lottery ticket or lottery players, I believe. They're going to have probably, I don't know. I mean, we're going to see when the roster comes out, but they're probably going to have 3 to 5 NBA players on that roster for sure.
Yeah.
And I guess Kentucky, too. So you look at that, and those guys, they didn't make, you know, they couldn't beat Kansas. Well, first of all, I want to say this. Coach K, next time there's a minute left in the game, change your defense to man-to-man against Kansas instead of playing a weak-ass zone that Kansas had 7 threes in the last 3 minutes of that game, which was pitiful. You should have won, should have been in the Final Four, but Coach K, hire me as your coach. We'll negotiate in the next couple weeks, and maybe I'll accept the job if you're lucky.
Yeah, that was just pitiful. They gave that game to Kansas. Kansas didn't win it. I mean, they went down and, you know, still should have won the game, and Grayson Allen still rimmed out a layup. So, yeah, I mean, that was just terrible defense at the end, and they should have just taken that one down.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, you know, one thing I brought up earlier is best week in sports, right?
Yes, it's a good week.
So, switching gears, we talked a little bit about the tournament. Everyone's seen that. ESPN's running that over the tape, but everyone's talking about right now is switch gears, right? You got two things that are happening. You got the Western Conference Finals from the NBA standpoint. You got three teams playing for, you know, two spots for the eighth spot. And then you got, like, hey, where's Golden State? Are they going to hold on and be the number two seed? Who are they going to match up against? Are they going to play the Thunder? Are they going to play, you know, some other team? Like, there's the Clippers are fighting for the spot. Utah is fighting for the spot. So you got that. And then you have all the injuries, right? The two teams, from an NBA standpoint, I would say at the halfway point, at the All-Star break, who are the two teams that you foresaw or foreseen being in the NBA Finals?
Golden State, obviously, they're the clear favorite. And I don't know what it is, but I just love Milwaukee this year. And I think they have such a strong amount of talent on that team between Parker, Antetokounmpo, and not sure who the other. Oh, well, Bledsoe, too. Yeah. So they just have a lot of talent. I mean, they're super strong. I think that they can put up and give Golden State some trouble. I mean, if they face him. So.
Well, I mean, don't forget about LeBron. He does. He does have the what? He's been in the NBA Finals for as long as I can remember. So you got Cleveland with the new roster, and the only other guy that's going to be a marquee player that wasn't on Cleveland before is Rodney Hood, and he didn't do anything in the playoffs when he was in it with Utah. You got him. Nance, he hasn't even been in the playoffs. So I never bet against LeBron in the sense of getting to the finals. I think it's going to be a quick finals. But one team I thought that was going to actually, even with Gordon Hayward going down, I thought Boston would make the run and Kyrie was going to get his revenge on LeBron. Especially with, I feel like, yes, Cleveland's done this historically year over year, but they never turn the whole squad over. You're teaching people on the run now. Plus, if you step back, yeah, Cleveland struggled, but they always played defense. Their defense sucks now. I don't think they're defensively sound like they once were. You know, that's a little bit of drop-off on, you know, somewhat on LeBron. Like, you're going to have to dent a little bit in Superman, but I think his defense kind of was shaky at times this year. So my thing, I'm saying you got injuries with Kyrie and Marcus Smart, who's going to be a sixth man. You've seen what it did for Villanova. Those guys are banged up. Smart's out for the playoffs. So Boston's not going to be able to make that run, I don't think, as deep. And then you have Golden State, and you got to realize Steph Curry is going to be out probably two series, right? And don't get me wrong, I'm not really totally worried.
He normally is, though.
Yeah, but if you get a tough matchup and you have to play a team like the Thunder in the first round, those guys, as much as Carmelo Anthony sucks, you still got to play PG, Paul George, and then you also have Russell Westbrook. That dude will try to kill you over a piece of meat. Yeah. That dude's a killer.
He will.
So I think that you take a lot of energy early on in the playoffs, and then you still got to realize on the other side of the bracket's going to be Houston.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if something crazy happens, and you know, in this, I mean, every team's one injury away from being out of it, right?
Right. And I think, you know, this year is different than a lot of years past where there's only been a few teams that have had those power three, you know, lineups. And this year it seems like there's like five teams that have three guys that are solid superstars. You know, the Bucks, Houston, Cleveland Thunder. Was one of them, and then they cut, like, I think Isaiah Thomas, and then they brought in, yeah, Larry Nance and, yeah. you know, those guys. So, yeah, there's just, I mean, there's a lot of teams that have some good talent. So it'll be interesting. I mean, there's no cake matchups.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we'll break down the NBA Finals closer to that matter, but I think it's kind of interesting. At the end of the season, there's so many injuries impacting the top-tier players, but so you have that, and then you got the best golf tournament of all time. Every year comes up, everyone stops their TV, and then you've got Tiger back, right? I mean, if you're a golf fan in the last 20 years of your life, you have to like Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
So anything around the Masters that you have, like, I think this guy has a legit chance, or, you know, I could see this dark horse or anyone like that.
Alex Corrin, or Norrin, I believe his name is. Alex Norrin. I was watching him in the WGC, and when he made it to, was making his run towards the finals, but got knocked out, and I think ended up placing third or fourth. He's solid. I mean, his whole game is pure. He just, you know, he got a little tired, I think, you know, playing those seven matches, or six or seven matches, I think it is, in the match play.
I know
my
this,
dark horse, I think.
Okay. I know this one's good with the kids that are like 13 that like Puma.
Yeah.
But I mean, I really would love to see Ricky Fowler win. I always thought he's good for the sport. He keeps his nose clean. He's one of the young guys with Justin Thomas. And, you know, it seems like he hasn't been able to get over that hunch. You know, it's kind of like, you know, what Charles Barkley wasn't able to do, right? A good player that never won a championship, bringing a little bit of NBA. That's a shot at Charles Barkley. But really just like getting over that and winning a Masters. I mean, I think that would just change the way he looks at everything. And I think it takes a lot of pressure off him. I would love for him to win. Also, one thing is, if you look at the tournaments this year, the old men are back.
Yeah,
I mean, you got Phil Mickelson winning. You got the guy that everyone loves to hate, the one the Houston Open, Ian Poulter, whatever the hell his name is, he won, which was the most clutch 18 non-major putt I've ever seen. The guy's like 20 feet away, hits it to force a playoff, and then the kid that he played, the young guy, hit it in the water and was his brain was shambles after that. I would love to see that. And then another guy that is unconventional is the lefty that's won two times this year.
Bubba Booey. Yes.
I think Bubba Booey and an old Phil Mickelson, I think the lefties, I don't know what it is about me. I'm a right-handed guy, but I'm like, the lefties look cool swinging the club.
Yeah.
I hope they're in the mix. And it's interesting. What about you?
Yeah, I like Bubba a lot. Bubba Booey, he's done it before. He's loves this course. I mean, he loves Augusta, and he's been playing good lately, which is abnormal for him to come into the Masters playing good, I feel like.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously people want you to talk about the marquee names, Dustin Johnson. Obviously, he's one of the best players on the planet in golf, and then you got Rory. You know, Rory was struggling last year, got rid of his old caddy, and now he's starting to get the wheels back on and all that. I mean, I'll keep it to the mainstream media companies to talk about those guys. I always root for the underdog and, you know, someone that we're probably not even mentioning. I wish they could bring, like, John Daly back and just allow him to drink on the course and just hit drives and then just walk with no golf shoes on. I mean, that's just, like, just really just bring one guy that you're just like, this guy needs three caddies, one to carry his beer, one to carry his, you know, John Daly's, and then one to carry his clubs. I would love him. Entertainment
yeah.
kind of guy.
And while rocking the American flag pants all at the same time with his wife on the bag, you know, chucking clubs. He's just a class act.
Yeah. So we got to bring John. And he has a mullet. I mean, if you're rocking a mullet, I mean, I'm losing my hair. So any guy that can rock a mullet and look good, I enjoy. So the reason why I kept bringing up the, you know, the best week in sports, and I would like to debate this the last couple minutes, is you got, we had the national championship last night. We got the end of the NBA season, end of the NHL season, which the playoff, you know, races come down to that. Then you have baseball in the first full week, right? So hopefully teams start hitting, or, you know, our pitching over here in Chicago gets a little bit better, which it will. And then you also have the Masters all week. So Wednesday, starting tomorrow, you got the par 3 contest, and then the tournament starts Thursday. So, and then finally Sunday, you got WrestleMania, which for kids that grew up in the 80s, I'm an 80s baby, wrestling was huge. The Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, all that. We'll touch base on that. I'm doing a special WrestleMania podcast with my one of my brothers on Sunday. So, do you think this is the best week in sports, or is there another week that comes to mind that you're just like, well, I'm a better, you know, I like the playoffs and for the MLB, or, you know, what other week comes to mind? Do you have any, or?
I mean, it's a pretty good week. The only other week that comes to mind for me is just start of football season, but that's just because I think at that time, it's like there's not much going on if I'm... what's going on around that time of the year, but the sports that are, I'm not too interested in, so this is a good time.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I guess there's probably nothing you could do when college football's in its second week. You got opening week of the NFL, red zone's back. I guess that is kind of a life changer, but I'm gonna stick with this is one of the best weeks, if not the best week, just because I think you got so every day you could go home, you know, try to get out of the chores you're supposed to do at your house and flip on the TV and something interesting's on, because in, you know, in a couple months, it's only going to be, we're talking about the draft, hopefully in the next couple weeks, and then you got just 162 games of baseball. And don't get me wrong, I love baseball, but 162 of anything, I got ADHD times 100, I lose focus on game like 17, and I'll be back in 100. So... that's where it is. I do want to thank you, Drake, for jumping on. Good luck crushing the game this week coming up, and wherever you're playing the tournament, won't give any shout-outs because we don't want people trying to lose their money to you. But, you know, appreciate your time. Hopefully have you, you know, back again. Maybe elaborate on a couple more of those poker stories.
For sure, man. Thanks for having me.
Certainly.
It's been fun.